Arsenault joining us. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning.
Huge meeting last night, packed house, but kind of a disappointing outcome. Or was it? Were you disappointed with the outcome of the vote? It was a 4-4 vote, so it did not move forward.
We're talking about the data center at the MPC.
Sorry,
yeah.
Sorry.
I had no idea what you're talking about.
I know. I'm sorry. I didn't set it up right. The huge data center, the possibility of a data center. We'll say that.
I think the thing people need to remember about this is in an industrial park. This was not a rezoning. This is in an I-1 industrial park that is set aside. These are the areas that we asked NLEP to market Shreveport for. And it is disappointing that there was not more support for it. In light of the fact that most data centers make investments in the billions, that's with a B, of dollars, and there are a lot of benefits. So hopefully there'll be some education, and some of the people who were opposing it, I think some of the arguments against it were not well based. They were honestly held, but not well based.
Like which ones? Which ones are off the mark for the most part?
I think some of the ones that said that utility rates would go up, and there is no evidence of that, because they pay for all of the infrastructure improvements and that benefit not just the project, but benefit the surrounding area. So it's hard to ask NLEP to market Shreveport when Shreveport says, okay, when you come to the table, we're not interested.
It's kind of, honestly, when I heard this morning, it's kind of embarrassing. We got a message on the Shreveport Security.
Your own article had a lot of foul, fallacious statements in it. Not y'all, but your reporter. And when you check those things out, they just turn out not to be accurate.
Mm. We got a message that said Shreveport is about to send the technology world that we don't want you here. We need to be a forward-thinking community. We don't have companies wanting to come into our community every day.
Yeah, this is a black eye for economic development. So hopefully the city council will take a careful look at it.
That's kind of what I'm afraid of. Mayor, I do have a question. We were hoping this is such a huge complex, but then I've heard reports that it was only going to be about 100-150 jobs or so. It's not a retail outlet or something that with a product to sell. What's the revenue generating? We know it's going to be tax revenue. Could there be revenue in the sale of water to the city?
Oh, there's a tremendous revenue increase in the sale of water. And in fact, there is an item on the city council special meeting agenda that deals with the sale of water respect to the data center.
Let me ask you about the council. We're heading into an election year. Their phones will ring off the hook about this. I don't even know if we have hooks on phones anymore, but you know what I mean.
That'll be another one of those things, Aaron, where we say it, but we have no idea what it really means.
Somebody's going to look up the etymology of off the hook.
Right. That has to concern you. What is the temperature of the council on this yet? Do you have any idea?
Well, I have not spoken with council members about it. I think I would think that if the city wants to have economic development, they have to take a hard look at, you know, we have to make difficult choices to get billions of dollars of investment in our city and a lot of infrastructure that we would not otherwise have paid for by somebody else. So I think there are a lot of positives about this. Whenever you have zoning cases, always the opponents who show up. It is not the hundreds and hundreds of other people who think this is a good idea. They don't show up. And like I say, I think some of the arguments were well-meaning and honestly held, but not but not holding water.
Concerns about noise that were brought up by Reverend Dodd, that it sounds like a bass thumping all, you know, all day. Is that a real concern? Are there any things that this applicant could do to mitigate that?
Yeah, as I appreciate it, they've taken noise readings, and the noise from I-20 is louder than the noise that will be generated by this. That's the information that I have.
Are you concerned, as we speak today, after this vote from the MPC, a tie vote, essentially, which killed it, that this applicant may say, Longview looks good. Peace out.
Yeah,
I hope not, but that is obviously a concern.
That would be a big loss.
It would be a huge loss. It, not just for this project, but for...
Exactly.
But for, when we're competing with other communities, they're going to say, look, the people of Shreveport don't want this kind of thing.
What is your message this morning to the members of the Metropolitan Planning Commission who voted no? Were they ill-informed? Were they just... the large crowd swayed them? What do you say to them this morning?
Well, I hope that they will look more carefully at other applications. The MPC has had a reputation as being anti-business, and this does not help that reputation.
Whoa, that's kind of strong. Does our MPC need revamping?
Possibly.
Is that something you would start moving on?
Possibly.
Interesting. How soon?
Very interesting.
Soon.
You sound a little ticked this
morning.
You actually do.
You sound a little aggravated, Mayor.
I'm just answering your questions.
I get it. So when you say revamp the MPC, dismiss them all and start over?
Well, I don't know that we can do that locally. I don't know whether or not we could do that locally. But one of the things that we're under consideration is to bring it into the city as a department. Now that they only have city jurisdiction, that seems to make sense, and that's something that I'm looking very carefully at, something possibly in the first quarter of 2026.
Interesting. So you're optimistic that when this gets to the council that they will take another look?
I try and maintain an optimistic viewpoint all the time, and so I better have that optimistic viewpoint until I'm proven otherwise.
Mayor, I know you've signed an NDA, or I would assume you've signed an NDA. We don't know, and one of the concerns up is, well, we don't know anything really about this. We don't know who, if anyone, is looking at this property. Is somebody specific looking at this property?
I can't answer that question.
As he takes a sip of his coffee, right? I can tell. I'm jealous.
It was water, but that's
okay.
All right.
Okay. So what do we have a time frame for when these folks want this approved and they want to move forward?
Well, they definitely want to move forward. And one of the things to remember is if you look at what's happening over in Northeast Louisiana, there's a huge building and construction boom. These things take years to unfold. And if you just look at the kind of boom that's happening in Monroe and in that whole area, this is something seriously to consider if we want to have industrial jobs and high paying jobs come into the city of Shreveport. For example, we've got the Libby plant. The Libby plant is an industrial site. When we're trying to market that site, people are going to look to the decisions and say, well, we're going to cross Shreveport off the list because you spend 2 or 3 years trying to take to fruition. And when you come in, you get turned down.
That's disappointing.
Gotcha. Absolutely.
Very disappointing. Mm-hmm. Mayor, just real quick, in the last 30 seconds, what message do you think needs to be changed to change what seems to be the prevalent public opinion?
Well, I'm not sure it's a prevalent public opinion. I think it's the opinion of people who happen to show up because they thought their ox was in the ditch. That does not mean that that's reflective of public opinion in general.
Gotcha.
Okay, good point.
Gotcha.
Mayor, thank you so much, and I know we'll be talking soon. Looking forward to our Ask the Mayor segment next week.
I'm looking forward to it myself.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. Coming up.
Now, breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarthy on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
I did not get a chance to make it out up north yesterday. I really wanted to go see the brand new Walter B. Jacobs park in complex now that they've got.
It is unbelievable.
I heard reports that it's just incredible.
Unbelievable. They've got this huge event center. They've got a bird sanctuary set up. They've got birds of prey they're going to have in there. I mean, it is absolutely gorgeous. And folks have been sending me pics, and keep the pictures coming if you got the tour, because it is absolutely a stunning complex. $20 million that we voted on in a bond proposal a couple of years ago. They're getting ready to reopen to the public. I think the opening date is January 17th. It's not yet open to the public. I think they may be having a few private events between now and then, but it's unreal. I mean, they're going to be able to have like tons of kids in there on field trips and such.
Rusty, you talked about one of the displays is a tree that gets hit by lightning.
Yes.
And it starts, he sent me a video of that. It's so cool.
Oh, it really is. So cool. They really have done such a great job, and it is going to be a fabulous addition to our community. And you know what, to be quite honest, it's going to draw people from all over the region, you know, to come and take their kids and take the tours. Children from schools all over the area will go visit this place.
We took the kids up there when they were little before. I wish they were here to enjoy this.
I lived right down the road for the longest, and so kids loved that. I mean, they loved that spot, and it is absolutely now. And they're going to have weddings there. They're going to have big events. You want to have a corporate party there. Going to do all that.
Yeah.
Got it all available. So it really is cool.
Coming up, Mike Busada, local Shreveport attorney, spoke at the Metropolitan Planning Commission meeting for the new data center.
Mm-hmm.
And hear what he's got to say. Some very interesting information he'll share with us right after the news at the bottom of the hour. 1017 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Following up our conversation with attorney Mike Busada, who spoke at the Metropolitan Planning Commission meeting that kind of upset the mayor a little bit. Hear what the attorney had to say. Right after the break. 1017 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, attorney Mike Busada joining us. Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Was there some point in the meeting last night that you thought, oh, this is getting away from us?
You know, it's one of those things that I think that all of the concerns that were raised are obviously good concerns and good questions. And the issue that, you know, what I really hated was the fact that a lot of the information that was being put out there, you know, is just contrary to everything that we've seen, that we've studied, that we've witnessed in person. And I really feel like for a city that so desperately wants to grow its economy, to bring in new jobs, to expand, to stop the population decline, these are the type of projects that are the gold standard of doing that. And so I just want to make sure that we get the information out there, the correct information out there, to dispel some of these, you know, these myths that are out there.
And I'm talking about the meeting last night, the Metropolitan Planning Commission. I'm sorry, I didn't clear that up, for the proposed data center site out on Greenwood Road. A lot of the public showed up. That was a full house. And there was a lot of, like we said, opposition from the public.
explain what you do, Mike, with regard to data centers, because you've been working on the one in Rayville. You're deeply intertwined in all this, correct?
Yeah, so my practice is public project finance and economic development. So I represent local governments and local government entities and economic development organizations all throughout the state. On the Rayville project, I represented the state of Louisiana. And what my clients are looking for is, how can we attract these good jobs? How can we attract, you know, these massive revenue influxes and clean jobs? And so that's what I do, is I work with these different entities all across the state, from north to south, east to west, to help them attract economic development projects in general. And data centers are really the gold standard. I mean, that's what everybody is really fighting for right now.
There are people that think it's going to raise our electric rates. I want you to explain how that is not it.
Absolutely. And I would say this, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, there was some truth to that, because originally when data centers started coming online, the model was to go in and take existing limited capacity that was already being generated by utility companies that was just there not being used. And so it was really stretching their supply. And that did, there were some price fluctuations there. So what, you know, policymakers have really moved to, and this is what our Public Service Commission has essentially demanded in Louisiana, is that any new data centers that are taking that much power are going to essentially be required to pay for that. They're going to be required to pay for all the infrastructure that it takes. And that's exactly what's being done over in Richland Parish, is Entergy is paying for, out of their pocket, the money to build new generation facilities, to reinforce the grid. All that's coming out of their pocket. And quite honestly, one of the funny things that I always talk about is Entergy is their utility provider. Entergy also also provides utilities to people all the way down south in hurricane areas. Hurricane assessment. Well, Meta's not going to get hit by a hurricane in Rayville, but they're still paying the same assessments. Mm-hmm. And so, quite honestly, it eases the burden when there's the requirement that they pay for their own generation, and that's what was done there. And there's no reason to think that anything different will happen here.
So you say Entergy is paying for those new centers being built, the new processing plant. Is SWEPCO going to do the same thing in this area?
No, I can't speak to what SWEPCO is or isn't going to do. I can just tell you this, that it's been made very clear from policymakers that there is no appetite to allow for mass consumption without the companies paying for it. And I see nothing that would change that. All of the members of the Public Service Commission are extremely attuned to pricing. And when you know that the companies will pay for it, as they have in other areas, I think that there's no reason to think that anything different would happen here.
What about the strain on our water system and our wastewater system? That's been brought up as well. Is that a problem with data centers? Is it something we need to know about?
You know, counterintuitively, Aaron, I think that this project could help solidify our water system. And there was a lot of talk about that. You know, I work with the city on their water and sewer, on their bonds. And I can tell you right now that one of the problems that we have is not enough customers, a declining customer base. We built a system that was built for a much larger population. Like any good community that does proper planning, we built with the plan to grow. And so we have a ton of excess capacity. And so whether or not we sell that water, we're still paying for the infrastructure. It's just like if you have an apartment complex, whether or not you have two people renting or you have 200 people renting, the complex and keep up the infrastructure is the same. The more people you have, the more you can spread it across. And so quite honestly, I think that this, what would be a significant new customer purchasing water, purchasing sewer, would actually benefit every single resident by helping us to keep rates as low as possible. If not, we're all paying for it, and our rates are going to have to go up to pay for it, because somebody's got to pay for the infrastructure. And if we don't have more customers, then it's on the existing customers.
Mm-hmm. I just think that's kind of ironic.
Yeah.
The major concern is our water. Well, what about
I can tell, and I'll tell you too, one of the things about it, I noticed in most cities, in most counties, or most parishes and cities in the state, the biggest fight is over which city gets to supply the water, because it's such a lucrative thing for the city. I mean, that's typically where the fight is. Is it going to be the parish? Is it going to be the city? Is it going to be a private? That is a significant financial benefit to any city, and it's fought over.
Well, I've got a couple questions. One, a lot of people raised concerns about noise around the facility. Is that a legitimate concern?
I actually thought that it was, and it always been led to believe it would be similar to going to like a GM facility or any other manufacturing industrial facility. And so went and took a trip to one of the largest data center campuses in the country, and I was blown away. I mean, it was quieter there than it is in a lot of places. I mean, I would compare it to like a hospital, being outside of a hospital that, by the way, also has backup diesel generators.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. I mean, they're extremely quiet. It's quieter than my neighborhood on a weekend, and really quieter than my neighborhood at any time. And people say, well, there's this ongoing hum. Well, if you've been there, I think you realize that everything makes an ongoing hum, your refrigerator, everything, but you don't notice that. And this is something that is, if I would challenge anybody that's concerned about that to go over to outside of Dallas, where they built several campuses, and just walk around, and you will be shocked. It is more quiet than anything else that would go in an industrial park.
We're talking with Michael Bisada, and you just brought up what I was going to mention. This is an industrial park. It's being, some of the opposition is like, well, this is in our neighborhoods. This is not in a neighborhood. This is an industrial park.
Absolutely. And, you know, all the concerns, I mean, I fully appreciate the fact that there are citizens that are concerned that somebody is trying to put some facility that's going to be a pollutant in a, you know, in a, you know, near neighborhood that is, you know, somebody said last night, somebody says they always put these in low income neighborhoods. The problem is that's just not accurate. The largest concentration of data centers is in Loudoun County, Virginia. And if you go and look in Loudoun County, Virginia, let me just to compare that area where all these data centers are to our area here, their median income, family median income, is $178 per household, compared to ours, which is about $55,000.
Wow. Let me talk jobs before we got to let you go, because I'm looking at the Rayville facility. It looks like 500 direct jobs, 1,000 indirect jobs. But yesterday, the gentleman that was presenting said this is 100 to 150 jobs. Why don't we have more jobs for this one?
No, I mean, the jobs will be, it will be relative to the size. So you'll compare the size of the one over there. The jobs will be a relative number. So you should expect the same relative number of jobs in looking at 160 to 250, if that's the size of it. And I mean, look, if you look over in Rayville, you know, you see that continues. You know, there's all kinds of reports out there about that continuing to grow. And so you're going to see significant jobs. And the other thing I think you're going to see is, we've got a lot of data center manufacturing companies in Shreveport and in the region. SLB, you've got Fiberbond over in, you know, Minden. Mm-hmm. You've got Module X. We've got a ton. And if we can land big data centers here, that's going to be more jobs for all of those companies, which is desperately needed. We need to fill up the old GM plant, and we've got a data center manufacturing in there. Let's lean into it.
Yeah. Gosh, we could spend an hour talking with you, Mike.
Let's
appreciate your time. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Mike Bisada, attorney with the data center meeting, and Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710, Keel.com.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Ruben, I know you're busy, but you got to join me here. The other night, I don't know, last weekend, the other weekend, it was an odd evening where, like, Dina wasn't at the Humane Society, mm-hmm. or I wasn't. And she goes, you want to go see a movie?
Oh, wow. Okay.
And who seemed like, maybe, I don't remember. And there was somebody else. And so they started looking up, and it was like, There's nothing.
Really?
There's nothing that
y'all
we wanted to
fans?
Go see. No.
Okay, is it Sarah's Oil?
Know.
Sarah's Oil's a good little movie. Is it still here?
I don't know.
I think it's Sarah's Oil. I keep changing the title of the girl's
name. So is there anything out?
Hmm.
Maybe it was Thanksgiving. I don't know. Over Thanksgiving, we were like, let's go see a movie. And
Dina's not a Wicked
just
fan?
Grabbed us. No.
Really?
She's not a Wizard of Oz fan. That movie freaks her out.
The only thing I've seen recently.
And my daughter and I love it. Yeah, she doesn't like Wizard of Oz.
But the only thing recently that I, saw a trailer for that I actually wanted to see was the Frankenstein movie, the new Frankenstein movie. And I think they were only showing that at the Robinson.
Okay.
Not sure that's on Dina's list either.
Probably not.
Ruben and I will go.
I've never been speechless in about 20, 40 years. Not a fan of Wizard of Oz.
Nope.
Wow.
She's not.
Got to thump her in the head when you get home and tell her it's from me.
I'll say this is from Aaron.
This is from Aaron. Thump her in the head and say it's from me, please.
I have a scar on my eyebrow from when I was a little kid, 4 years old maybe, and I was trying to reach up to the VCR to rewind The Wizard of Oz, and I fell and hit my head on the corner of the TV.
Wow.
So, back when TVs were sharp.
Right?
Dorothy injured you then.
Yeah.
You had a crush on her, didn't you?
I was so young when I was watching The Wizard of Oz. I don't know if it registered.
Did anybody have a crush on Dorothy?
I think some people did, yeah.
Coming up after the news, Bill Robertson, Metropolitan Planning Commission meeting member, is going to join us. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Metropolitan Planning Commissioner Bill Robertson joining us. Bill, good morning.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
We're doing well. Thank you. Glad it's Friday. Look, how do you think this didn't? We're talking about the data center, the meeting that you had the other night. Packed house, a lot of people from the public. How did this not pass, though?
Well, the vote was 4-4. There were four commissioners who voted no and four who voted yes. One commissioner had to leave early, so we did not have our 9-member complement. And there was a lot of opposition. So the four commissioners who voted no, you'd have to talk directly with them to find out why they voted no. I voted yes.
Mm-hmm.
So the matter probably will be appealed to the city council. That's my understanding. And I think at the council, it may have a different outcome. But, the council's a different body, so we'll have to see what they do.
Bill, it sounded like from listening to the meeting that some of your fellow commissioners were kind of urging the developers, their spokespeople, to set up a new public hearing and do a better job of reaching out to the community. And it sounded like they were not interested in doing that. Did I hear that wrong?
No, you heard it right, Aaron. And I was one of those urging the developer to do that. The MPC has an innovative strategy we call neighborhood participation meetings. And those are where the developer and a member of the commission staff go out into the community and hold a meeting with the public surrounding a development site and let them ask questions. And that was a meeting that was held, but I think about 14 people showed up, and the folks who are concerned about the data center thought that more people should have been notified. I tend to agree with them about that, and I urged the engineer to hold a second hearing, but he said no, he wanted a vote, so we took a vote.
Let's talk about, because you're really, in terms of the big scheme picture, the electric rates and a data center. We will be transparent here. You worked for Public Service Commissioner Foster Campbell for many years, so you're very familiar with the inner workings of that. Have you done research and studied whether or not a data center will impact my electric rates?
Well, I have, not to a great degree, Aaron. It's a complicated process, but I can tell you this. Campbell, when the Meta project was proposed in Richland Parish, he insisted that Entergy, the incumbent utility over there on that side of the state, put the cost of the project onto Meta. And he did that, and the commission agreed with that. So that's sort of a template for how the state would handle this data center on this side of the state. And so I asked the question of Mr. Corbin, representing SWEPCO at the hearing this week in Shreveport, if he could assure the community in the room that they would not bear the cost of this facility if, for example, a substation were required or new transmission line or even a new power plant. And he said it was premature to answer the question.
That scares us all, Bill. That scares everybody.
Well, you know, it didn't reassure me for sure, but knowing Foster like I do, 20 years with him there at the Public Service Commission, I know he would not impose those costs on the 200,000 SWEPCO Louisiana customers. He would put them on the data center, which is rightfully so. And so I think Mr. Corbin, if he had the chance to answer the question again, might answer it differently. But be that as it may, that's how he said it.
But we all need to know Foster Campbell has only one more year left, right?
That's true. He's termed out. Mm-hmm. So at the end of 26, he will roll off and a new commissioner will take his place.
Now, on the water, you also heard from Brandon Sneed with the Water and Sewer Department saying they had plenty of water. Yes. The Shreveport Council has voted on a measure to sell water to a company, seven and a half million gallons a day. Are we certain we have the capacity for that?
Oh, Mr. Sneed said we do. He said the Shreveport water plant capacity is exceeds what we use every day, even in the middle of summer. And he said he was confident that what the data center would require could be handled by the city. So I take him at his word. He works for the water department. We all depend on him. So I'm hopeful that what he was telling us would prove to be accurate. So
we're talking with Bill Robertson, Metropolitan Planning Commission. Bill, the mayor was very disappointed in the outcome of the meeting. Did the applicant not make their case well enough? Was that because Mike Busada, the attorney, told us, and he said in the meeting, a lot of these concerns are really not valid anymore. The noise concerns And some of the opposition was like, we don't want this in our neighborhood, but this isn't in a neighborhood. This is in an industrial park.
Well, there is residential use that is, I believe, within 500 feet of the site. So it's somewhat of a mixed use area, Mike. Mm-hmm. And I can understand the mayor's concerns. This is a fairly big project with a projected 150 to 200 jobs. And that's why I voted for it. So I just had a hard time conceiving of an office and warehouse complex being a public nuisance. So that's the bottom line for me. And I want some opportunity in our city. But like I said, you'd have to talk to the four commissioners who voted no, because they heard a lot of concerns in the community. I'm sure the folks who were issuing the concerns were sincere in their remarks. And let's face it, data centers have had a controversial record around the country, and they're sprouting up all over the place, and it's somewhat of a new phenomenon for America. So we got to deal with the pluses and the minuses. But, you know, as I sized it up, the pluses outweighed the minuses.
The mayor also told us yesterday that, and I'm going to quote, I believe directly, The MPC has a reputation of not being business friendly. I'm sure you don't like hearing that. Is there any truth to that?
I think if you looked at our record, the vast majority of the cases we hear are approved as proposed. So I think that's a little bit of an inaccurate statement. The Planning Commission has a tough job. It has to balance the needs of the community versus the needs of the developers. I think by and large, our professional staff does a real honest job making those evaluations. And then the nine commissioners have to weigh their concerns and the concerns of the public. You know, it's the neighborhoods are I come from a neighborhood background in Broadmoor, and I've had my dealings with the MPC on the outside as well as on the inside. So neighborhoods are not always right. But sometimes they are, and sometimes they know what's best for the neighborhood, and developers come in and are not sensitive to the concerns of the community. In this particular case, I thought the presentation was good, and I thought the man answered the questions that were presented. Ultimately, he didn't get the votes. I thought he made a mistake in not having a second neighborhood participation meeting. But I think he's rolling the dice with the city council. So we'll see what they say.
Bill Robertson, the mayor told us yesterday in kind of a surprising comment that as disappointed as he was, he is looking at making some changes with the MPC, possibly bringing it in-house, if you will, in the city. Do you think that's going to be a good idea?
I'm not real sure about that, Mike. I read the story on your website this morning, and it was news to me. No pun intended. Mm. But, you know, the mayor's got his priorities. I think it's important that the Planning Commission be independent of the elected officials that we elect for our city council and for mayor. And that's how it was set up, I believe, back in the 1950s.
Yeah, I believe it's in the charter, so it probably will take a charter change, I'm afraid.
Might be a legislative change as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know. As y'all probably know, the commission used to be a regional body. It was a city and parish.
Right.
And there was some tumult about that a couple of years back, and there were changes made. Mr. McCormick, I believe, from Oil City, put those changes forward, and the legislature adopted them. It's just important, I think, that the politics, to a great degree, be kept out of planning decisions. And that's how the structure of the commission is now. For example, our director, Mr. Clark, is retiring at the end of this month, and his replacement will be chosen by the nine members of the commission, not by the city council, not by the mayor. Now, the mayor's, musings about what he wants to do might be that he chooses the executive director. I don't think that's a great idea. I think it ought to stay with the MPC.
Mm-hmm. Bill Robertson, Metropolitan Planning Commission, thanks for talking with us this morning. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
Well, always a pleasure, fellas.
Thanks.
Talk to you soon. Coming up here in about 20 minutes, we're going to talk with Rusty Scarborough. The grand reopening, if you will, Walter B. Jacobs Nature Park. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Well, yesterday there was a big hootie-doo at Walter B. Jacobs. A lot of Caddo Parish commissioners were out there, mm-hmm. Members of the media checking out the new facility for the Walter B. Jacobs Nature Park.
I had to go to the doctor. So I told you ahead of time, I had a doctor visit. So
I had a fundraiser that I had to do.
Oh, man.
So I had already committed to, so I couldn't make it either, but I am planning on getting out there. I can't wait to see the new.
Definitely.
We're going to talk to Rusty Scarborough coming up after the news bottom of the hour and find out what all we can look forward to with the new Walter B. Jacobs Nature Park. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Rusty Scarborough with the Walter B. Jacobs Nature Center joining us. They had a big hootie-doo, kind of a grand,
I love hootie-doos.
A big hootie-doo
yesterday
for the media and Caddo Parish Commission members. Rusty's going to join us. He's mad at us. Neither one of us could make it.
I know.
So he didn't bring us eggs. He didn't bring a varmint out with him.
I know.
He's mad. Hopefully he'll talk to us right after the break. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
The show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Rusty Scarborough with the Walter B. Jacobs Nature Center. I like the new name.
It is beautiful.
It's, well, according to the pictures and videos we've seen.
Oh. It's like you birthed a baby, Rusty Scarborough. Is that how you feel?
You know, it's a dream that is now validated. It was just an incredible opportunity, and they came to me and talked about what we could do to renovate the building, and I'm like, we really can't renovate this facility that was built in 1975. And so I told my boss that, you know, if we can come up with some money, I'll build you the best nature center in the South. And I'm pretty sure we've done that.
You voters passed a $20 million bond issue in 22, I believe.
In this climate of no new taxes.
Yes.
Yes.
That's because of the job y'all do. Yeah. That's because y'all do a great job at promoting parks and nature, et cetera. And you tore the old structure down.
Yeah, down to the ground. And
ground
started
up.
All over. And the new facility is six times larger than the old facility.
Wow. Six times. Now, tell us a little bit about this new facility. It's going to be an event center also.
Yeah,
and
right
you've got
next
classrooms.
To the nature center, we have an event center that will seat 400 at tables. And it has a warming kitchen, catering kitchen. We have utility hookups for food trucks and musicians in the parking lot, so we don't have to have generators.
And what a perfect fit. Opossum, where art thou? At the Nature Center.
They're booking them. I'm not sure.
It just works.
What is out there in terms of for education for the children? What have you got out there?
So the main building is almost 13,000 square feet. We have two classrooms and a laboratory. And then we have a 4,000 square foot exhibit hall museum with the interactive, immersive exhibits. And it's pretty much made to look like our property. We have 160 acres that the Jacobs family donated back in the 70s. And so we tried to show you what our forest is inside in a comfortable, more safe environment. People have a lot of stigmatisms about going into the forest about all what's out there. So what we try to do is create an environment where you could casually go through and see things that might entice you to go out and see the real stuff in the forest.
Talk about some of the exhibits. You've got an alligator. You got it from A to Z, right?
And we worked with a company called Taylor Studios out of Rantoul, Illinois. And the commission was generous with budgeting the top-notch exhibits. I told them, I said, we don't want to get out and open and say, man, I wish we'd have spent that extra $500,000.
Thank you.
And you know, because this is a one and done. We're not going to make multiple nature centers probably in this area. So I didn't want to mess it up from the beginning, and I didn't want to low budget it. And, you know, a lot of times with government, we can't do the piece de resistance, but we did. And Taylor Studios knocked it out of the park. We have a 28-foot tall white oak tree in the exhibit hall. We have a loblolly pine that you can push a button and lightning strikes it. We have a sweet gum tree that has poison ivy growing up the side of it. And now I'm telling you, it looks like it would make you itch if you brushed up against it.
Wow.
We have an interactive alligator nest where when you reach and touch the eggs, the baby alligators start barking at you.
And holy cow.
If you put your hand on the nest, alligators being cold-blooded can't incubate their eggs. So they make a compost pile, and the decomposition of the vegetative matter warms up. And that's what incubates the eggs. So you can put your hand on the incubation on the nest, and it's warm. And then we have scent panels.
And alligators do. I'm just saying they do this instinctively. Isn't God amazing?
It's pretty incredible, isn't it?
That they know how to keep.
Here, let me blow your mind a little bit more. Alligators, the sex of the babies is determined by the incubation temperature. So in the center of the nest, it would be hotter. So if they're 91 degrees, they'll be males. If it's 86 degrees, they'll be females. So in a normal nest,
we
get about 50-50.
We knew women were cold-blooded. So yeah.
And we knew men were hot-headed. Yeah. Well, I was, you heat it up for me, bud.
There you go. I was telling the kids when I'm doing an alligator program, I said, you want me to help you remember which way is which? And they're like, yeah. And I said, it's just like in real life. The girls are cooler than the guys.
There you go. Now, when can you start? When does it open to the public? And this is what blows me away. It's free.
No, it's not.
It's not?
No.
How did I miss that?
We have been free for the 50 previous years.
Uh-oh.
But with an investment of this size, the bond initiative paid for construction of the facility.
Okay.
So the operation, you know, we've had to hire more staff. We have more facilities. So there will be an admission fee. And
how much is that?
$8.
Okay. Reasonable.
And
what about when schools come? Do they pay?
If they're Caddo Parish schools, they will not pay. If they're out of parish, they will pay a nominal fee per child.
But for the general public,
it's $8. $8. Okay. $5 for like students and military.
Okay.
I don't have the whole pricing list memorized, but there is a fee because we have to generate enough money to operate. That money was not in the bond initiative.
What about for locals, though, that may want to come out Caddo there Parish every residents. Other week? Or
well, we do have family memberships and individual memberships available to
Okay.
them.
And the opening date again?
January 17th.
All right. For teachers or any educators that might be listening that want to bring their kids out there on a field trip, what's the process for that?
Well, we'll just ask that they follow us on Facebook or our website. And when we get that finalized with our new process, we'll publish it. And we've been in contact with Caddo Parish schools and administration. Keith was out there yesterday, and we had long chats with him.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a good rapport with them, and we will be an announcement to all of our educators for sure. It's just because we're changing the way we used to do it to this new process that's supposed to be streamlined. So we just haven't made that active yet.
Okay. You have another question? Because I have another one.
No, go right ahead. Go ahead.
The question I would ask is, this is just not a Caddo Parish. You're going to get guests from all over the region. How far away are you hearing from folks who want to come?
Well, certainly the surrounding, like Texas, East Texas and Southern Arkansas. You know, for the past 2 months, I've been getting probably 20 calls a month from teachers wanting to book.
Wow.
And, you know, a lot of them said that they needed to book. If they were going to be able to go, they had to do it in October in this school year. They had to book it in October.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, we can't book it until after January.
Right.
So. But I think we'll pull. I mean, we were already pulling people from like Nacogdoches to our events, like Owl Night and stuff.
Okay.
So with I-49 ending right where you go to us and I-20 being relatively close, I foresee us having a very good attendance.
And what age are you targeting? Is it?
All ages.
Any age, right?
One of the things that I really wanted, you know, when you go to a lot of museums and zoos and stuff, they've got those special features where kids can crawl into a tunnel and get face-to-face with the meerkats or something like that, or crawl through the cave and get to the bats. Adults can't do it. So our fallen log is big enough for adults and children and anyone, even handicap accessible, to walk inside the hollow log and see the speckled king snake and interact with the termite exhibit.
One more thing from me. There's been a long-standing problem in many communities where government has property, buildings, et cetera, they don't take care of. Do we have budget money to make sure that that we keep this place looking nice and it's
beautiful.
That's
what that $8 is for.
That's what that's going to do,
and Caddo Parish is very financially solvent. And, yes, Caddo Parish buildings are not buildings that are not being maintained. I can assure you
good
that.
Good point. Good point. Okay. Good point.
We have an incredible facilities and maintenance department, and they are on spot. I mean, the Caddo Parish roads are in good condition, and the Caddo Parish buildings are in very good condition. So, yes.
You got some new varmints coming that you can.
We are getting some new birds. Our new bird aviary will hold 11 birds. So, we will have all of our birds in the same locale. And so we have a couple that, as soon as we get the certificate of occupancy, we're going to go pick up a new Mississippi kite and a new red-tail hawk. One other cool thing I'll share with y'all. You know I'm a falconer. Mm-hmm. And so in the exhibit hall, the Taylor Studios.
I'm a Northwood falconer.
Yeah, I got something I can tell you off the air about Northwood falcons.
Oh, my.
There's a red-tail hawk in one of the trees in our exhibit hall. And so when I went up to visit in Illinois at 70% completion, I saw this red-tail that they had made, and it looks incredible. It looks just like a live hawk. But at the base of the tail, there's no black subterminal band, which most red-tails have.
Those idiots. No subterminal band.
Yeah.
Gosh.
And I'm like, well, that's weird. I've only seen like two or three in my whole career that didn't have a black subterminal band. And then I looked up the bird and saw on its back, and I'm like, that's my bird. And Sherry at Taylor Studio said, well, we may have gone on your Facebook page and copied your bird. So my hunting bird is in the Nature Center for
Pacuda. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah.
One more thing. Sorry, we're keeping
it. No worries.
How many snakes are out there?
Right now we have 4 snakes and a turtle and 4 baby alligators.
4 baby alligators. Mm-hmm. Wow. I can't wait to get out there.
I know. I can't either. I can't either.
I'm excited.
It's exciting. It's an incredible opportunity. I can't thank the voters of Caddo Parish enough and administration and parks administration. I am just truly blessed. You know, they say if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. And I couldn't be happier with my position.
It's awesome.
That's why
January
I feel
17th.
I'm working so hard, huh?
Yeah.
Rusty, always a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Friend. Congratulations. I can't wait to get out there. Coming up after the news, top of the hour, Royal Alexander Shreveport attorney is going to join us. We're going to talk about the possible immigration halt and the strikes on those Coke boats. After the news, top of the hour, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarthy on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
But the only thing I'm disappointed is he didn't bring a varmint, Reuben. And he didn't seem real open to booking Opossum, Where Art Thou?
No, he's not.
It just seems a natural fit.
It's right.
Possums, Nature Center,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
Maybe we can talk him into an adults-only night.
He is doing a Critters thing. What did he say? Bones, something in Critters?
Bats, bones, and what is it?
Bats, bones, and what is it?
And bugs, I think, right?
Bugs, yeah.
Bugs, bats, and bones.
Where he cooks some extraordinary delicacies.
No.
They're good, I promise you.
No.
Well, you have to try them.
I've had the red beans with the wax worms in it.
Yeah.
The cookies with the crickets. Mm-hmm. And they're all pretty good to me.
They're all not bad.
Okay, if they're cooked... I'm still warning you,
cricket stuff gets stuck in your teeth. I'm just giving you a heads up.
I can't just pick up a cricket off a plate, even if it's cooked and covered in, syrup. I just crunching into a cricket. Now, if it's ground up and cooked into a cookie and I don't know I'm eating a cricket,
yeah,
that may be, because again, I go back to, if you eat a mud bug, you eat anything.
That's what I was going to say. This coming from the man who rips the butt off of a crawfish and sucks
right,
it dry.
Exactly. I don't have an argument. I don't have a leg to stand on. But it's just,
some of it's good. And Rusty's a pretty good cook, too.
And the mealworms, you said, Reuben, it's... Mm-hmm. You don't see them, right?
I think it's waxworm. In the red beans, you do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
not like moving or squiggling.
No, they're not though. Alive.
No.
They've been cooked with everything else.
Because they're supposed to be like high in protein.
They're very good for you.
And good for you.
Maybe I'll bring you a bowl tomorrow or Monday.
No, don't worry about it.
Don't worry, Skip. Okay.
Royal Alexander after the news, 101.7 FM, 710 Q. KEEL, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Shreveport constitutional attorney Royal Alexander joining us. Royal, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good to be with you.
Thank you, sir. We're glad you joined us this morning. There's a couple of things that I wanted to touch base with you about. A lot of pontificating going on about a few things nationally, and there's been some discussion from the Trump administration about actually halting immigration. It's certainly halting immigration from certain third world countries until we get our stuff together, if you will. Do you see this happening, and what's the latest on this?
I do. I think that I would first say I think it's really unwise and dangerous to allow millions of unvetted people whose values are completely antithetical to ours into the country.
And let me further that thought, Royal. Coming to this country, if you're in Afghanistan or Pakistan, wherever, it's not your right to come to this country. It's a privilege. No. It is a
Absolutely.
Privilege to come to the greatest country in the world, and it should not be easy. It should not be unvetted like it has been for the last 4 years.
Completely agree. And many of these people are often not trying to assimilate. I mean, it's true that look, we're a melting pot. That's true. We have come from all over the world. We did come legally, but America is a cultural melting pot. But we were trying to assimilate. Our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents were trying to assimilate and become Americans. And what the problem is, not only are many of these people, do they share values completely antithetical to ours, but once they're in this country, our government is forced to spend huge sums of money and law enforcement time to do surveillance to be sure they don't become radicalized, like the people who, like the person who shot at the two National Guardsmen and killed the female. So, no, and I'll say President Trump has every legal authority to completely block immigration and the entry into America of non-Americans if he thinks their being coming to the country is detrimental to the interest of the U.S. And I would argue from a national security standpoint and from a public health standpoint that it is detrimental to our interest.
And the left's heads are exploding right now. And if you look at this entire immigration, Royal, and I know you've seen the same things that I've seen, the protests against ICE and these demonstrations. They want an ICE-free zone, which is one of the most absurd things I've ever heard of. And
it's just so un-American, Mike. I mean, there's nothing to me more fundamental than that. A nation, you can't be a sovereign nation if you can't know or can't determine who is in your country. You're not a sovereign nation.
And if you don't control your own borders.
Right, exactly.
And what I was just going to say, if you boil this down, if you step back and look at this with common sense, all of this upheaval, it's not Donald Trump and Donald Trump's administration. The federal immigration police, if you will, ICE, is simply enforcing our own federal laws.
That's exactly right.
But the left, the elected left, are freaking out because their voter base is being dismantled. And that's what this is all about. It's about power. It's about voters. And these protesters are sheep being paid by people like Soros and his funding. There may be a few that believe it, but this, don't fall for this. I'm sorry, this is just one of my, I just really am upset about this.
I completely agree. And many of them are paid activists, many of the people who show up fighting ICE. But it's hard to know, to explain to someone, if you don't think controlling your own borders is important, I don't even know where you begin a discussion with them.
Let me ask you, Royal Alexander, because there are those that have been critical of ICE and the Border Patrol agents and saying they're going too far and they're profiling people. Can they walk up, if I'm walking down Uri Drive, can they walk up to me and ask to see my identification? Is that legal?
Yeah, it is. I mean, again, much like a police officer, there has to be some reasonable suspicion that this individual is in the country illegally. And again, people can say, oh, that's racial profiling. Right. But in the middle of the night, in any part of town, there's not going to be many people there. And if the police were to say, if going down Line Avenue or anything else, they still need a reason to stop you. But there's a number of reasons they could. One of your taillights is out. You've crossed over into the center line. And even if you immediately recover, those are all traffic violations. They give reasonable suspicion. It's the same thing, basically, when it comes to ICE. They have to have some reasonable suspicion that an individual is not in the country legally.
Does it have to be more than just the way they look?
Yeah, I think so. They have to have some reason still to stop an individual. And I know at times it may be close to the line, but again, that's why those things get challenged in court. But under no circumstance does it justify a crowd coming and attacking an ICE agent or figuring out where the ICE agent lives or doxing them and all of that. It can't.
Royal, I also wanted to talk with you real quickly about these Coke boat strikes that the left is in a faux uproar about as well, saying that these are war crimes. Does the right. president have the legal right to defend our shores?
Absolutely. And this is the thing about it. This is occurring in international water. And if you've seen the same videos I have, those are not fishing boats. They don't have any fishing equipment on them. It's laughable to me.
It is.
They're flat cigarette boats that can go very fast. And the thing is, the one thing in that has been in the news, the controversy lately, is they hit that one boat, and then if there were any survivors on it, are they allowed to hit it again? And right now, that's the
right.
The criticism. But what that admiral who ordered the strike, Hegseth gave him the authority. Hegseth, the Secretary of War, saw the first strike and then left. And then later they realized there still seems to be people on it. But that admiral, I think, is going to testify to Congress that he considered in ordering the second strike that those men were continuing with their mission. That's the legal standard, continuing with their mission. And he said that there are other enemy vessels who were in the area and that those so-called survivors were communicating via radio with others in the drug smuggling network in the area. If that's true, that would, under the law, justify a second strike on that boat.
To stop that communication.
That's right.
Right.
Continuing with the mission. And again, that'll all come out. There'll be an investigation. But right. Look.
And I heard a leftist politician say, oh, they fired upon injured sailors. That's
right.
Not
that's
what
like
they were.
It's like the Maryland man, Mike. Remember the Maryland man? The Maryland dad.
Yes.
The thing about this is, let's assume they did make a mistake and they didn't necessarily need to kill those two people. That would be a tragedy, but it's no greater than the tragedy, and I've seen it in my own family, of the illegal drugs in America that has made a wasteland of our culture. It's no more of a tragedy than that.
Thank you, Royal Alexander. We appreciate your time this morning.
Okay, guys. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for joining us. Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710Kiel.com.
Back with more McCarty on 1017 FM and 710Kiel.
Nanny, nanny, boo, boo. I get to see Santa, and you don't. And I'm going to tell him you've been a bad boy.
He knows.
You too, Reuben. Oh, bad boy.
He knows.
Santa's going to be at Avalon Hair Salon this morning, 10 o'clock to noon. It's on Uri Drive. And I'm going to be there from 10 to noon collecting toys for Operation Santa Claus.
Ah.
So I'm going to get to love on Santa Claus.
That's going to be a fun one.
It is fun. It really is fun. And the fun part about it is now, you know, my friends at Avalon are so incredible. Those ladies are incredible. But Santa Claus is the star. It doesn't matter who else is there. When the cars drive by and the children see Santa,
oh, I know. I know.
I stand next to him, so I think they're screaming for me.
Last night, Santa was at a fundraiser at the Bossier Arts Council.
Oh, cool.
And employees from across the street at Flying Heart started jumping up and down.
They love Santa. And yes, this Santa so today fun. Is available. You know, you want to bring your kids by. He's very good, and the kids can take pictures with him. He will ask them what they want for Christmas. He's really, really cool. He's a really cool guy. So I'm looking forward to hanging out with
Santa's
him.
Santa's a cool guy.
Santa is a really cool guy. But we really do need help for Operation Santa Claus. We're on the clock now to get all this. I hope they're trying to wrap it up by the 16th, 17th, something like that.
Sure.
So they can make their deliveries.
Right.
So we need toys for new unwrapped toys for kids from ages 3 up to 12. And for the little kids under 3, you have to really check those labels. Because we're looking for kids for infants, for babies too. But check the labels on those, because a lot of the toys say they're under 3 toys are a little bit difficult to find. So just be sure you read the labels. Right. But we
don't want any choking hazards.
Right. But you can make a cash donation. You can drop by and just drop off some cash too and say hi to Santa and come by.
And earlier in the week, Greg said bicycles.
Yes. Yes.
You can get a bicycle. They're not $700 for children.
They really are not. And the other thing that's real popular is, you remember those big wheels that we used to ride?
Oh, my gosh.
The kids love those, too. Skateboards are big. And any of the sporting thing, basketballs, footballs, you know, all that sort of stuff, baseball equipment, the kids love that stuff as well.
But Greg made an interesting point. He said if you want to do a monetary donation, a lot of times they can take that money and buy in bulk those bicycles and get a better price.
Yes.
So your money can actually go further if you, rather than you just going to buy a bike.
Absolutely.
Make a monetary donation at Avalon Hair Salon on Uri Drive today.
From 10 until noon. Come by and say hi to me and maybe the big guy too.
101.7 FM, 710 Kiel.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Earlier this morning, we spoke to Metropolitan Planning Commissioner Bill Robertson about the data center meeting. Hear what he's got to say. He did vote for it, by the way, in a 4-4 failure vote. It's coming up after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on that free Kiel app.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
One seven FM 710 Kiel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Metropolitan Planning Commissioner Bill Robertson joining us. Bill, good morning.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
We're doing well, thank you. Glad it's Friday. Look, how do you think this didn't? We're talking about the data center, the meeting you had the other night. Packed house, a lot of people from the public. How did this not pass, though?
Well, the vote was 4-4. There were 4 commissioners who voted no and 4 who voted yes. One commissioner had to leave early, so we did not have our 9-member complement. And there was a lot of opposition. So the 4 commissioners who voted no, you'd have to talk directly with them to find out why they voted no. I voted yes.
Mm-hmm.
So the matter probably will be appealed to the city council. That's my understanding. And I think at the council, it may have a different outcome. But, you know, the council's a different body, so we'll have to see what they do.
Bill, it sounded like from listening to the meeting that some of your fellow commissioners were kind of urging the developers, their spokespeople, to set up a new public hearing and do a better job of reaching out to the community. And it sounded like they were not interested in doing that. Did I hear that wrong?
No, you heard it right, Aaron. And I was one of those urging the developer to do that. The MPC has an innovative strategy we call neighborhood participation meetings. And those are where the developer and a member of the commission staff go out into the community and hold a meeting with the public surrounding a development site and let them ask questions. And that was a meeting that was held, but I think about 14 people showed up. And the folks who are concerned about the data center thought that more people should have been notified. I tend to agree with them about that, and I urged the engineer to hold a second hearing, but he said no, he wanted a vote, so we took a vote.
Let's talk about, because you're really, I mean, in terms of the big scheme picture, the electric rates and a data center. We will be transparent here. You worked for Public Service Commissioner Foster Campbell for many years, so you're very yes. familiar with the inner workings of that. Have you done research and studied whether or not a data center will impact my electric rates?
Well, I have, not to a great degree, Aaron. It's a complicated process, but I can tell you this. Campbell, when the Meta project was proposed in Richland Parish, he insisted that Entergy, the incumbent utility over there on that side of the state, put the cost of the project onto Meta. And he did that, and the commission agreed with that. So that's sort of a template for how the state would handle this data center on this side of the state. And so I asked the question of Mr. Corbin, representing SWEPCO at the hearing this week in Shreveport, if he could assure the community in the room that they would not bear the cost of this facility if, for example, a substation were required or new transmission line or even a new power plant. And he said it was premature to answer the question.
That scares us all, Bill. That scares everybody.
Well, you know, it didn't reassure me for sure. But knowing Foster, like I do, 20 years with him there at the Public Service Commission, I know he would not impose those costs on the 200,000 SWEPCO Louisiana customers. He would put them on the data center, which is rightfully so. And so I think Mr. Corbin, if he had the chance to answer the question again, might answer it differently. But be that as it may, that's how he said it.
But we all need to know Foster Campbell has only one more year left, right?
Well, that's true. He's termed out. Mm-hmm. So at the end of 26, he will roll off and a new commissioner will take his place.
Now, on the water, you also heard from Brandon Sneed with the Water and Sewer Department saying they had plenty of water. The Shreveport Council has voted on a measure to sell water to a company, seven and a half million gallons a day. Are we certain we have the capacity for that?
Oh, Mr. Sneed said we do. He said that the Shreveport water plant capacity is exceeds what we use every day, even in the middle of summer. And he said he was confident that what the data center would require could be handled by the city. So I take him at his word. He works for the water department. We all depend on him. So I'm hopeful that what he was telling us would prove to be accurate. So
we're talking with Bill Robertson, Metropolitan Planning Commission. Bill, the mayor was very disappointed in the outcome of the meeting. Did the applicant not make their case well enough? Was that because Mike Busada, the attorney, told us, and I think he said in the meeting, a lot of these concerns are really not valid anymore. The noise concerns and some of the opposition was like, we don't want this in our neighborhood, but this isn't in a neighborhood. This is in an industrial park.
Well, there is residential use that is, I believe, within 500 feet of the site. So it's somewhat of a mixed use area, Mike. Mm-hmm. And I can understand the mayor's concerns. This is a fairly big project with a projected 150 to 200 jobs. And that's why I voted for it. So I just had a hard time conceiving of an office and warehouse complex being a public nuisance. So that's the bottom line for me. And I want some opportunity in our city. So, but like I said, you'd have to talk to the four commissioners who voted no, because they heard a lot of concerns in the community. I'm sure the folks who were issuing the concerns were sincere in their remarks. And let's face it, data centers have had a controversial record around the country, and they're sprouting up all over the place, and it's somewhat of a new phenomenon for America. So we got to deal with the pluses and the minuses. But, you know, as I sized it up, the pluses outweighed the minuses.
The mayor also told us yesterday that, and I'm going to quote, I believe directly, the MPC has a reputation of not being business friendly. I'm sure you don't like hearing that. Is there any truth to that?
I think if you looked at our record, the vast majority of the cases we hear are approved as proposed. So I think that's a little bit of an inaccurate statement. The Planning Commission has a tough job. It has to balance the needs of the community versus the needs of the developers. I think by and large, our professional staff does a real honest job making those evaluations. And then the nine commissioners have to weigh their concerns and the concerns of the public. You know, it's the neighborhoods are, I come from a neighborhood background. And I've had my dealings with the MPC on the outside as well as on the inside. So neighborhoods are not always right, but sometimes they are. And sometimes they know what's best for the neighborhood, and developers come in and are not sensitive to the concerns of the community. In this particular case, I thought the presentation was good, and I thought the man answered the questions that were put. But ultimately, he didn't get the votes. I thought he made a mistake in not having a second neighborhood participation meeting. But I think he's rolling the dice with the city council. So we'll see what they say.
Bill Robertson, the mayor told us yesterday in kind of a surprising comment that as disappointed as he was, he is looking at making some changes with the MPC, possibly bringing it in-house, if you will, in the city. Do you think that's going to be a good idea?
I'm not real sure about that, Mike. I read the story on your website this morning, and it was news to me. No pun intended. Mm. But, you know, the mayor's got his priorities. I think it's important that the Planning Commission be independent of the elected officials that we elect for our city council and for mayor. And that's how it was set up, I believe, back in the 1950s.
Yeah, I believe it's in the charter, so it probably will take a charter change, I'm afraid.
Might be a legislative change as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know. As y'all probably know, the commission used to be a regional body. It was a city and parish.
Right.
And there was some tumult about that a couple of years back. And there were changes made. Mr. McCormick, I believe, from Oil City, put those changes forward, and the legislature adopted them. It's just important, I think, that the politics, to a great degree, be kept out of planning decisions. And that's how the structure of the commission is now. For example, our director, Mr. Clark, is retiring at the end of this month. And his replacement will be chosen by the nine members of the commission, not by the city council, not by the mayor. Now, the mayor's, musings about what he wants to do might be that he chooses the executive director. I don't think that's a great idea. I think it ought to stay with the MPC.
Mm-hmm. Bill Robertson, Metropolitan Planning Commission, thanks for this morning. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
Well, always a pleasure, fellas.
Thanks.
Talk to you soon. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710.
Best stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I don't want to fail to mention, tomorrow we're doing a bingo for the Humane Society of Northwest Louisiana fundraiser.
Cool.
At Noble Savage.
What time?
4 to 6 p.m.
Humane Society fundraiser. Yeah, Bingo's a blast.
It's so much fun.
Very cool.
We have so much fun.
Oh, that's awesome.
Chopin is so gracious. The owner of Noble Savage now, and he's got a great staff.
Absolutely.
They're always so nice.
Mm-hmm. I'll be headed out here in just a minute. I'm headed to Avalon Hair Salon. I'll be there from 10 until noon today for Operation Santa Claus. And yes, Santa Claus will be there too.
Fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, have a great weekend.
You
Mike
too.
And McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.